We shall now turn to John chapter 12, and we shall consider this morning the section verses 34 to 43. John chapter 12, and at verse 34. And the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up, crucified? Who is this Son of Man?" Jesus has been speaking about his death. In verse 24, he spoke about the corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And then from the plant, a harvest being produced. The seed of corn must die for the harvest to be produced. Christ must die for souls to be saved. And then in verse 32, he said, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up on the cross, crucified, I will draw all men, people from all nations, not just Jews, drawn to salvation through the death of Christ." Earlier in chapter 12, we read of the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, how he came riding upon a donkey, and how the people took off their clothes and put their clothes down on the road for him to ride over, how they cut down branches from palm trees and laid the leaves in the way and waved the branches of the palm trees, and they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Great crowds of people, "Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." The King, the Messiah. Surely this was welcoming the Messiah into Jerusalem. It was such an exciting time. All the children were singing, even, and the older people too joining in. And there was this triumphant march of Christ into Jerusalem from Bethany. The Messiah. And people were thinking, is this indeed the Christ, the promised one, the one who is to reign forever? And then just when they're thinking that maybe Jesus is the Messiah, he says to them he's going to be crucified. Who is this Son of Man? Who is Jesus? Who does he claim to be? And who is he in reality? It's an important question. A question for each one of us. Who is this Son of Man? Who is Jesus? Who is he for you and for me? What place does Jesus have in your life? Is he your Savior? Is he your master? Is he your leader, your guide, your hope? Is he the one you love with all your heart and in whom you trust for time and for eternity? So important. What is Christ to you? And really, on the judgment day, that will be the question. What did Christ mean to you? When you lived in this world, what place did Jesus have in your heart and life? Was he your Savior? Did you trust in him? Did you follow him? Or were you like the great majority who just ignored him or rejected him? First of all, today, the Bible says Christ lives forever. So who is the Son of Man? We have heard, verse 34, out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How seest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? We have heard out of the law. The Hebrew word for law is Torah. We have heard out of the Torah. What was the Torah? The Torah was the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. But then the Torah became the name given for the whole Jewish scripture, all the books of the Old Testament, the Psalms and the Proverbs, and also the books of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, etc. So we have heard out of the Torah, we have heard out of the Old Testament that Christ abideth forever. The common Jewish understanding was that the Messiah would come, the longed for, promised one. And when he came, people would make him king. And then, as king, he would fight against all the enemies of God's people. And he would conquer the nations round about. Indeed, his kingdom would become a universal kingdom, greater than the empires of the Assyrians or the Babylonians or the Persians or the Greeks. The Messiah would have a universal empire, and his kingdom would last forever. And yet here's one who claims to be the Messiah, and he's saying, I'm going to be crucified. Failure. Disaster. How could it be? Who is this Son of Man? Did not the law say that? Did not the Torah say that the Messiah would reign forever? We were singing together in Psalm 89. His throne endureth as the sun. The sun is there, generation after generation, century after century, the sun shines from heaven. And the Messiah's kingdom will last like the sun. Daniel chapter 7 verse 14 says that the Son of Man came to the Ancient in Days, and he was given an everlasting kingdom. He was given everlasting dominion and a kingdom that was universal. Daniel 7:14, a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Surely it's clear, Messiah will reign forever. And yet Jesus speaks of crucifixion. What was the problem? Well, the problem was that the Jews were taking part of the Old Testament and forgetting about other parts. That's the problem with so many who have false teachings. Think of the Jehovah Witnesses. They'll take one or two verses and they forget about all the rest of the scriptures. And they push these one or two verses. For example, the Bible says, Jesus says, my Father is greater than I. So that means that Jesus is less than God. He's not equal with God. He's not God. They take one or two verses, they push them too far, and they forget other verses. Verses which say, I and the Father are one. Or the verse which says, great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. God the Son, manifest as a man, revealed as a man. God became man. There's so many verses that tell us about the deity of Christ. And so it is in the Old Testament that you have those verses which speak of the everlasting kingdom of Messiah. But there are other verses that tell us about the death of the Messiah. Isaiah 53. Wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. Led as a lamb to the slaughter. He made his soul an offering for sin. With the rich in his death. Zechariah 13 verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand on the little one. Yes, the shepherd is going to be smitten. And the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, is going to be an offering for sin and die on the cross. There's so many verses that speak about his sufferings. You see, what the Jews forget was that certain things were going to happen before the Messiah would sit upon his messianic throne to reign forever. Before the Son of Man came to the Ancient in Days, certain things happened. Before he came to the Ancient of Days, what did happen? Well, he had there to die, to suffer and to die. He died on the cross. And then, as Psalm 16 says, he rose again. Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And as Psalm 68 says, he ascended up on high, leading captivity captive and giving gifts to men. Psalm 110 says, he sat, God said to him, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. So you see, the Messiah, he comes, he suffers, he dies, he's buried, but he rises again. Psalm 16. He ascends up on high, Psalm 68. He sits at God's right hand, Psalm 110. And so his kingdom is from then on an everlasting kingdom. He shall reign forever. Their problem was superficial knowledge. Partial knowledge of the Scripture. It's so important for you and me to study the Word of God, to take it all together. Not to take just one verse here and one verse there and think we know it all. No, we have to study all Scripture and take it all together, and so we have the truth, the whole truth, the full picture. And of course, it's so much easier for you and me than it was for the Jews. You see, the Jews just had the Old Testament. But we have the New Testament as well. And the New Testament explains so much of the Old Testament. So when we read the New Testament along with the Old Testament, we have the full picture. We have a clear understanding. Study the Scriptures. That's what this is saying to us. The Son of Man, yes, he must die, and then he will reign. Secondly, notice Jesus' answer to the Jews. He says to them in verse 35, they say, who is this Son of Man? Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. It's not a direct answer. Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus doesn't say this Son of Man is such and such. But he says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light. But in another sense it is an answer. Because Jesus is saying, the light is with you. I am the light. Look to me. I'm the light of the world. Who is the light of the world but the Messiah? The Messiah is not just a king who gives commandments. The Messiah is also the prophet who teaches. And the priest who offers the sacrifice. We've got to take the whole Messiah. The Messiah is the great light of the world, giving spiritual light and spiritual understanding to men and women. Come to me for the light. Yet a little while is the light with you. Soon I'm going to die. What use have you been making of the light that I have been giving you? When I die, you will be without light. What will you do then? If you've kept on rejecting the light that I've been giving you all my life, then when I die, you will be in darkness. Yet a little while, the light is with you. Receive the light. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. If somebody's walking in pitch darkness, they'll stumble over things, they'll fall into ditches, they could fall over a precipice into a pit, over the rocks into the sea and be lost. There's so much danger in walking in darkness. Take my light. Walk in my light. I am the Son of Man. I am the Messiah. While you have the light, believe in the light. Interesting way it's put. Believe in the light. Believe in me as the light. Put your trust in me. Let my light shine on your path. Let me be your guide. Take me as your leader. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the light of the world. He that believeth in me shall not sit in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the great prophet, the great teacher. What a privilege these Jews had. They had the best preacher ever. You today have to make use of a far inferior preacher. But the Jews had Jesus to preach to them, and yet they were in darkness. They didn't believe in the light. When I am gone, says Jesus, darkness will reign. And what darkness came over the Jews, having crucified Christ? The vast majority of Jews entered into great darkness. Darkness came over their nation. In darkness, their nation was destroyed. For 2,000 years, the Jews have been wandering around the world in darkness. And they're still in darkness and blindness, going down to the pit, to outer darkness, and they need Christ, the light of the world. And the only way they're going to be saved is through God opening their eyes and shining His light into their hearts, beholding the Messiah and grieving because they crucified Him. Without Christ, following their own teachers who reject Christ and His teaching, they were in darkness, they were falling into the pit of darkness, and they were lost. Jesus is the light. Do you follow the light of Jesus? Do you let His light shine into your heart? Are you every day praying to Him, Jesus, give me light. Jesus, show me the way. Help me to know how I should live. Lord Jesus, be my guide. Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Jesus is the light. But thirdly, notice the sad response of unbelief. The end of verse 36. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. He departed, Jesus, and hid himself. There was a threat. There was danger. The Jews wanted to arrest Jesus and put him to death. Jesus was going to die on the day of Pentecost. Still 2 or 3 days away. Not the day of Pentecost, the day of Passover. He was going to die as the Passover lamb. He must die on that very day. And therefore, meanwhile, he hides himself. And then he will allow himself to be arrested on the day of the Passover, the night before. And he will be crucified that day. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not. He had turned the water into wine. These great water pots full of water for purification. And Jesus turned it into the best of wine. What a miracle. The man who had been lying paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda. Perfectly restored to health. 5,000 people, 5,000 men fed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. What a miracle. A man born blind, given his sight in one moment. Lazarus, dead 4 days in the grave. Raised from the dead. Although he had done so many miracles. Surely it's plain. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, said Nicodemus. Must be so. Can't be but so. So many miracles. And yet unbelief. He had so many demonstrations that Jesus was the Messiah. Does that not show? Does it not prove the wickedness of unbelief? So many miracles and yet unbelief. But is it not so today? So many demonstrations and clear proving and showing that Jesus is the Messiah and yet people will not believe. And they see people converted, and they see people round about them, saved by the grace of God, and yet they will not believe the gospel. Is that the case with you? Many privileges, and yet holding back, refusing to believe in Jesus. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not in him. All these things recorded about him in the scriptures. And you know it's the truth. And yet you will not believe in him. Unbelief. Verse 38. That the saying of Esaias, the prophet, might be fulfilled which he spake. Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Thousands of years ago, in Old Testament times, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 53 and verse 1, exclaimed, who hath believed our report? Who is there who will believe my teaching? Who is there who will receive the word that I bring from God? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? People seem to be so blind. They will not receive the message. There's Isaiah prophesying his heart out, as it were, and people will not believe. And then the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the greatest prophet ever, and the greatest preacher ever, and he preaches his heart out to men and women, and he too has to exclaim, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And still today, thousands of years afterwards, as we go around preaching the great message of salvation, we have to say, Lord, who hath believed our report? So few believe. So many reject the message. So many love darkness rather than light, prefer evil to good, follow Satan rather than Jesus. Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore, verse 39, they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. This is quoting from Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah had the great vision of the glory of Christ. And at the end of the chapter, we're told that God blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted and be healed. Think of Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Why did Pharaoh? Then we're told that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. How does it all fit together? Well, Pharaoh first did that which was really wicked. Pharaoh first hardened his own heart. See the wickedness of Pharaoh when he was taking the little infant children of Israel and throwing them into the Nile, destroying their children, enslaving God's people, mercilessly with his taskmasters, forcing them to do hard labor and hard work. God's chosen people showing such cruelty. And then when he was asked to let God's people go, he would not let them go. He hardened his own heart, and God hardened his heart further. And in people's lives, there is a point in time when, as it were, they have overstepped the mark. When they've gone, as it were, too far, and God hardens them. God gives them up. It's a very dangerous state to reach. It's something you must be aware of, lest by constantly resisting the call of Christ, you reach a point where you no longer hear the call, but you're just left. Hardened. Blinded in your eyes, hardened in your heart, lest you should see with your eyes and understand with your heart and be converted, and God should heal you. As people go on rejecting the gospel, eventually there comes a time when God's judgment comes upon them with hardening and with blinding and with handing them over, as it were, to judgment. These things said Esaias, Isaiah chapter 6, when he saw his glory, the glory of Christ, and spake of him. By the way, this is a very interesting passage for presenting to Jehovah Witnesses. Jehovah Witnesses speak of Jehovah as one and Jesus as a created being. But if you go to Isaiah 6, you will see there Jehovah in his glory, surrounded by the angels, the holy seraphim crying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. You see Jehovah in all his glory, his train filling the temple, and the seraphim around him glorifying Him. And here in the Gospel of John, we're told that Jesus is Jehovah. Because we're told here that Isaiah saw His glory and spake of Him. Quotation from Isaiah chapter 6. Definite proof that Jesus is Jehovah. There is only one God. There is only one Jehovah. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Jehovah. The Holy Spirit is Jehovah. And the Father is Jehovah. And then finally, many of the rulers believed in Him, yet did not confess Him. Quite sad, really, to read verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So among the leaders, the elders, the rulers of the Jews, the members of the Sanhedrin, even amongst the leaders of the Jews, many believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Yet they did not confess Him. They were afraid if they stood out on Christ's side that they would be put out of the synagogue by the Pharisees. They would be rejected from Jewish society. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They knew in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ, but they held back from confessing Him. And Jesus says, those who are ashamed of Me in this world, I will be ashamed of them on the judgment day. Mark 8:38. Those Jews who knew that Jesus was the Christ, knew in their hearts, yet because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God, they will discover what it is for God to reject them, for Jesus to condemn them on the judgment day. Could it be like that with you? That you know in your heart that all these things are true, but you will not come out on the Lord's side because you're ashamed of Christ. And you want to be popular, and you want to be with the world, in the world, of the world. You love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Two things are required for a person to become a Christian: to believe in the heart and to confess with the mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We believe in our hearts, we confess and profess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. And if we are not prepared to profess with our mouths, if we're not prepared to confess Christ, then are we not like these Pharisees and like these Jewish rulers in the time of Christ, who knew that Jesus was the Messiah, yet were afraid and would not confess Him before men? Knowing the truth and perishing because of the desire to be popular with the world rather than to side with Christ. That challenge this passage is to you and me today. Are you ashamed of Christ? Are you afraid to acknowledge Him? Or do you believe in Him and profess Him as your Savior?